Welcome back to the Prayers of Rest podcast. I am your host, Asherita Chuchu, and today we are wrapping up season 11 of Prayers of Rest, praying like Jesus. And this, I feel like I'm guilty of saying this about every single season here, but this is absolutely one of my favorites. It's close to my heart as well. Just this theme of fixing our eyes on Jesus and modeling our prayer life after his prayer life and what we can learn from him about prayer, and also being encouraged that his ministry of prayer is not over, that he continues praying for us, continues interceding for us. And so to wrap up this season of Praying Like Jesus, I invited my friend Jani Ortland to come on the podcast and share with us what she has learned over her many, many decades of prayer. She shares about how her mother-in-law lovingly confronted / encouraged her to go deeper in her prayer life, and why that was not off-putting or offensive, but rather an invitation that Jani really wanted to receive. She talks about how her mother-in-law made her relationship with Jesus enticing, as well as what she's learned over the years about removing the burden of guilt when you tell someone, hey, I'll pray for you, and then it's so easy to forget to pray. So Jani shares how she sets up a prayer notebook that she has used for many decades. I think probably close to 50 years, if I've tracked the years correctly in our conversation. But you can listen in and let me know if I have that wrong. I also loved how she talks about pushy prayers and what that means to her, and how that is her desire for the next generation of prayer warriors that are rising up, including those here on the Prayers of Rest podcast, that her heart for us would be that we would learn. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll let you listen in and hear what her heart is for listeners of the Prayers of Rest podcast, as well as this generation of prayer warriors. And with that, Jani, I keep talking about her as a friend. I've met her in real life once, and we've had several conversations online. Jani Ortland is the Executive Vice President of Renewal Ministries. She serves with her husband, Ray. And they have 4 kids, one of whom is ministering with them now, and lots of grandkids. You'll hear her talk about her grandchildren with fondness and how she continues praying for them. She's also a contributor to Revive Our Hearts and the Gospel Coalition, as well as Desiring God. And she just has a real heart for prayer. I have been so encouraged in my own prayer life, and I hope that this conversation blesses you as well. To kick things off, Jani, I would love to hear from you. What role has prayer had in your life? Is there a point that you can look back on and just see like a pivot from, oh, I pray because that's what good Christians are supposed to do, to I pray because it is my lifeline?
Oh, what a searching question. Could this act as my confessional? I believe that a turning point in my own life for prayer was when my mother-in-law shared with me about her own prayer life. Because up until then, I believed in prayer. I wanted to pray, and I did pray on occasion, but it was mostly help. And then help again. Oh, I need more help, Lord. And I don't think the Lord tires of that, but I wanted my prayers to be more than help, because Jesus prayed differently. My mother-in-law sat me down very kindly one time when I was visiting with her and showed me her own prayer notebook. And it gave me the motivation to learn to pray well for my family and my own walk with the Lord through the years. That was way back in the dark ages in 1975. I was 26 years old, and that was a turning point for me.
I love that your heart was so soft that you weren't offended by your mother-in-law being like, listen, Jenny, your prayer life,
Well,
we can
if
go
you knew
deeper.
my mother-in-law, you'd understand. She's with Jesus now, but she loved me beautifully. She welcomed me into their home and family with such an open heart that I felt safe with her. And I looked at her life and I listened to her pray. I wanted to be able to pray like that. In her prayers, I saw a relationship with Jesus that enticed me. So I didn't feel threatened by her. I felt invited by her, if that makes sense.
I love that thought that I saw a relationship with Jesus that enticed me, because it sounds like she modeled for you first a prayer life that you could look at and be like, I want that. And so then when she approached you, it wasn't a like you're doing it wrong, but rather it sounded like a spirit of love of saying, let me invite you in. Like, this isn't an exclusive club. This is something that is offered to all God's children.
Well, it's like with almost anything that you love, you're excited to talk about it. You know, if I found this wonderful new vitamin that made me feel like I was 50 again, I would share it with all my 75-year-old friends, you know. We'd say, yes, let me share this with you. She was so excited about her prayer life and what the Lord had been showing her recently as she developed this way of recording prayers, writing prayers, remembering who she had promised to pray for, all of that, and then also seeing God's response to her prayers. She was so excited about it that I didn't feel shamed. I didn't feel belittled. I felt she was sharing with me this wonderful secret into a more intimate relationship with Jesus.
So you'd point to that conversation, maybe that discipleship relationship as the point where prayer changed for you. So what was it like before? And what would you say now, looking back on decades of this deeper conversation with God? Like, what would you invite listeners into if they're like, oh, I wish I had a mother-in-law who would do that for me?
Oh, well, before Mom shared with me her way of praying and recording her prayers, my prayer life was rather scattered. When I was in deep need, I would pray more. But generally speaking, my quiet times were more centered on the word, reading the word, and I would pray at church, or sometimes I'd go to our church prayer meeting, I'd pray there, but rarely was it a daily practice as being part of my meeting with God each day. And so after that, hasn't been perfect, but she started me on a pathway of developing my own life of prayer. Other things have helped me along the way. Sometimes books, reading books on prayer. But for me, the best thing for me was not reading about it or learning about how someone else did it, but taking a few helpful hints from them and developing my own prayer life of doing it. It's kind of like, sometimes you go through a dieting phase where you really want to lose weight. And so you read about all these different diets. I wonder which one I should try. And some of your friends recommend one and some another. But unless you try it yourself, it doesn't really work. You can read all you want to about it, learn all you want to about it, but until you take it in and practice it yourself, you're not going to lose any weight. And I think it's the same with prayer. That's kind of a goofy illustration, but maybe I'm thinking of it because of my own needs. But the more I pray, the more I learn to love it, and the more I want to pray.
Yeah. I can definitely connect with the idea of, on the one hand, there's intellectual knowledge about prayer. Like, we can like you said, read all the books we want. We can listen even to conversations or testimonies of people who've grown in their prayer life. But the only way to learn to pray is by actually praying. In my own life, I would say there's been just a dramatic difference in the depth of my prayers, but also I would say the earnestness of my prayers once I started praying with others as well. There's just something about coming to the throne room with other people's boldness and confidence, being like, oh, we can pray like that? Like, this is okay. This is how God invites us to have a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. And so I can point to just throughout my life, God has used so many different women, especially to teach me, to take me deeper in prayer.
Do you meet with women regularly for the purpose of praying together?
Not in this season. I actually, last night I was at the grocery store. I was picking a few things up for dinner, and I ran into someone in the store who I hadn't seen in about 6 years, but she looked so familiar, Janie. I'm like, is it Janae? Is it? And she turned around and we made eye contact, and it's like, oh, it is. And here's this dear woman that we never really met outside of these about twice a month weekly prayer gatherings. And we would get together and we would closet ourselves for like 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Wow.
And just pour out our hearts to the Lord for our families, for our churches, for our school districts, just for whatever was happening in the world. I know more about her and her marriage and her children than I do about most people that we shuffle in and out of church and just say hi in the hallways. So that was such a beautiful season of prayer with women, and for various different reasons that group disbanded. But just seeing her last night, I was reminded, like, oh, my heart hungers for that sort of a connection in prayer, intentional gathering. Jannie, I'd love to hear, as you think back, and I did kind of put a pin in, you referenced it a few times now, a structured or an organized method of prayer. So I want to come back to what that looks like in your life and what you learned practically from your mother-in-law about that. But before we do, I'd just love to hear on the heels of a season on praying like Jesus, how does the life and ministry of Jesus encourage you in your prayer life? Like, what practical difference does it make?
I would say, as I look at how Jesus prayed, as it's recorded for us, and how he continues to pray, the scripture says he ever lives to make intercession for us before the Father. Isn't that a wonderful gift? I think there'd be two ways. One, I appreciate that scripture says at times he got up early and withdrew to a lonely place to pray. That helps me because I need quiet to pray. I can't have Ray around. I can't be in the same room with Ray if I'm going to really groan and cry in my prayers. I can't have grandchildren near me. So I appreciate that about the Lord, that he gave us the permission and the pattern to slip away. Also, when I think about probably his most desperate prayer in the garden before he was taken away to be crucified, I love how real he was. I mean, he was really, it was on the line for him. He was really wrestling. And I appreciate that because it tells me that he understands when I'm wrestling. I'm not alone when I come to God with tears. I've never sweat drops of blood, but the Lord can sympathize with me when I'm praying that way. And I have a partner in prayer. I am in Christ in that way. So those are two ways that have helped me in my prayer life, the way I look at Jesus as he prays. I'm glad he taught us to pray. Mm-hmm. I'm glad he gave us the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. It's kind of him, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's very, very important part of our walk with God, for him to say, these poor humans, they really could use a little help. I think I'll show them. This is what you can ask. And he just had sympathy for us. We're kind of slow, and we're kind of impatient, and we're kind of dumb at times about how to pray. He said, let me show you.
Yeah.
And the Lord's Prayer.
And I so appreciate too, like in the context he's offering, you know, this model of prayer, and also kind of juxtaposing it with how the religious leaders were praying, which is out loud in public, these loud, long, super pious prayers, which to a bunch of just fishermen and misfits and Matthew the tax collector, like that would have been so intimidating. Like, is that the right way to pray? Like, is that what you want for, like, would you teach us how to pray? And I can sympathize with the disciples saying, teach us, like, we need help. And what Jesus offers is such a beautiful model, and also short and yet packed with so much truth.
Yes.
And so even in that, I just so appreciate the way that he opens the way for us to come to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He could have offered like a prayer model that's three chapters long.
Yes.
And he didn't.
He understands our frame, that we're but dust, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Think of how often that prayer has been prayed since Jesus gave us those words. I marvel to think of this through the centuries, how often the Lord's Prayer has been prayed and God has answered.
Yeah. And even just this morning, we're homeschooling with our children and we're working on memorizing portions of scripture. And so one of the first passages that we memorized together was the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. And so we're, you know, sitting around the table, my 10-year-old, my 7-year-old, my 5-year-old, and we're all kind of saying it together.
Yes.
And it struck me in the moment, like, it's just rote, like, recitation for them at this point. They're just saying the words because they know that's what they need to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, my mama's heart prayer is, Lord, would the seed go deep in their hearts?
Yes.
And would it produce an abundant harvest at the right time? Like, would those words come to mind when they need them most?
Mm-hmm.
Even if right now they're not, you know, enthusiastically worshipful about saying it, even though, you know, we have those conversations about how this is talking with God. Like, this isn't just, you know, words off the lips. But I've been given that gift of a rich spiritual heritage from my parents and grandparents. And to your point, Janie, how many times has that prayer been prayed around the world, that we would have a common language to come to our Father and ask for what we need and gain a new perspective on where we're at? Okay, because I know we are all curious. Tell us more about that. It sounds like your mother-in-law, is it Anne?
Anne.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
I read Disciplines of, I want to see if I get this right, Disciplines of a Beautiful Woman.
Yes.
Or something like that, when I was 12 or 13. Like,
really?
Yeah, super young.
Good
And
for you.
And I loved how practical her book was. I cannot now tell you what was in it. But I do remember just her practical advice laced with grace and wisdom. And so I'd love to hear, what are just some of the practical things that you've learned from her and have carried with you in your prayer life, and how you've made that your own?
Oh, I feel so privileged to have been her daughter-in-law, and I'm happy to share some of the things she has taught me through the years. I have mentioned her prayer notebook, and I developed my own just based on some of the hints she gave me. And
tell us more about the prayer notebook, Jenny.
Well, it's really very simple, because if I don't have a plan, I tend not to execute a goal. If I have a plan, then I know where I'm going, and I know if I've made it, if I've accomplished it. So my prayer notebook helps me in that way. And the way I've divided it up, it's a little bit different from mom's. But what I've done is just taken my notebook. It's a small notebook, 5.5 by 8.5 pages, and divided it into how many sections would it be? Nine sections. The first section is just entitled prayer. And that's where I just pour out my heart to the Lord. Sometimes I write it out. Sometimes I just will list a request and not write out my whole prayer. The second section is daily prayer requests. You know how perhaps you've had a family member or a close friend who has a very significant prayer need, and you say, I want to pray for you daily on this. I need a place to record those. And I usually have a set date in my mind. I'll pray for this year or for this month or until her surgery is over. I'll pray for it daily, whatever. And in that section, I have my pages for Ray. I have my pages for our family, which is rather large. We have 4 grown and married children and 15 grandchildren. So I have a page for each one of them. And then I list those. Right now I'm praying, I should double check to make sure I don't exaggerate. I think I'm praying for 4 requests daily.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. And now, obviously, that I don't pray for each individual grandchild for 10 minutes each. There's no way I could do that. But there are some specific verses. I pray over my grandchildren, and I mention each one by name. I just go down their 15 names and say, Lord, make those granddaughters like corner pillars on the palace, the columns on the corner of a palace, and those kind of prayer requests. So that's my daily section. After that, I have a section for each day of the week. Sunday, I pray for people in our church and my own community group needs. Monday is both Ray's and my extended families, you know, brothers-in-law, my sister, sisters-in-law. I no longer have living parents, but extended family members and any specific needs there. On Tuesday, I pray for my disciples. I have a discipleship group each year, and past disciples that I promise to pray for. Wednesday, I pray for our compassion kids. We support children through compassion, and that's my specific day to pray more for them. Thursday is for ministry wives, because at Renewal Ministries, we interface a lot with different ministry wives, and some of them have significant needs, and they ask me to pray, and I want to honor that request and not just say, I'll pray for you. So I write it down and can remember it. Friday is my friend's day. I have 5 or 6 friends who are not family. They're not ministry wives, but we've gone through a lot together, and we pray for each other. Saturday is my missional day, where I pray for those I'm either asking the Lord to convert or have been newly converted. And sometimes I'll put missionaries in there that I'm praying for regularly. That's how I set it up. And what it does for me is it takes the burden of guilt off of me when I tell someone, I'm praying for you. I don't want it just to be a slight off-the-cuff, oh, I'll pray for you, pat, pat, pat. I want to be sincere about that. I want my words to have meaning and truth to them. So it helps me to be able to write that down and then go back to it. And then I also can look back to it and see how God is answering those prayers.
That is so super practical, and I appreciate you sharing that. I've as you're going through and you did like the first section on kind of rewriting your prayers and then the daily, and I'm like, I wonder if the next one's like one for each day of the week, because you said nine sections. And so I have a similar format. I use Val Marie's prayer journals, which kind of has that structure for each day of the week. But I think I'm gonna add the daily to it, because I love that idea of covering those closest to you in prayer every day in a very intentional way.
Could I add just one thing here? Something that I've found helpful with using my prayer notebook is that I can take these pages out. I can just open my prayer notebook, and I do this at the first of each year. That's why it's fresh in my mind right now. Once a section gets full, I take them out, staple them, and I have them in two little boxes up in my closet, and I can just tuck them away. I was going through them recently as I was adding my prayers from 2023, and I could see some of the very first prayers I prayed when I started my notebook in 1975. And so I have found sometimes some people love journals. Those are wonderful. But we've moved a lot, and I haven't been able to transport journals with me. But those pages, somehow, they don't take up as much space, and it's been a helpful tool for me.
And I love, I mean, you offer that perspective of decades of prayers, of keeping this prayer notebook, and how much easier it is than to transport that way. That made me think, I'm actually looking at my shelves right now. I can see on there the small ring binder that you're talking about, not the big 8.5 by 11, but the smaller one that I made in high school, as a result of kind of praying through this. And I shelved it over there, but it still has a lot of the sections that you're mentioning. I put my sermon notes in there too, and found it helpful to kind of pray through what I'd learned in God's word. Okay, I know we're wrapping up here short on time, so one, maybe two more rapid fire questions. Can we do this? Okay. Have you ever felt like there have been seasons of your life when your prayer life feels dry or rote, especially with something like this structured prayer time? Is it just like, I'm just, my eyes are going over the names, but it's hard to get my heart into it, or it's hard to have my prayer time feel fresh and personal?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I try not to beat myself up for that, because we call that life. If it were always fresh, we wouldn't know the difference between being dry and fresh. So I try not to beat myself up. I just ask the Lord, Father, you know my heart, and I'm a little dry. Pour out your water on it. It doesn't matter how dry the ground is. Once the rain starts falling, you drink it up and it becomes fresh. So I just give it to him when I'm dry. Sometimes he answers immediately. Other times he says, just walk with me through this dry spell. I'm still with you.
Yeah, I love that. I love that prayer of honesty, of saying, God, you know, I'm not trying to pretend here. And yet
No
here's my offering
pretending.
of prayer. Okay, and Gianni, last question. What is your hope and prayer as you look toward the next generations of women who are praying? What would be a word of encouragement you would give to those who are coming behind you in this ministry of prayer?
I would like them to take seriously some of the scriptures about praying really persistently, what I call pushy prayers, and not be afraid to press hard into God. Study different passages of scripture that talk about prayer, like Isaiah 62, 6 and 7, where he sets his watchmen on the walls, where he says, all day, all the day, and all the night, they shall not stop. Or the widow that comes and persistently keeps knocking. Jesus tells us that. I can't remember right where it is. You probably know where it is, Ashtarita. But I would encourage this coming generation to go boldly before God, to never give up, to keep asking Him to pray pushy prayers. I call them prayers that push. Pray until something happens. And just keep praying, because that's what faith is. Faith, you know, waiting is what faith does until God shows up. So that would be my word of encouragement. Keep going. God will give you the faith to hang in there, and it's really worth it. There are some prayers I've been praying for years. Others, I've only had to pray a couple months, but there are some, as I look back, oh yes, this is the sixth year I've been praying for this. Lord, do you want me to keep praying for it? Yes, I'm on it. I don't know when you'll answer, but I'm going to keep asking until you say stop.
Oh, what a great conversation with Jani. I hit the stop button on the recording, and then she kept going, and I was like, wait, I'll hit record again. And she's like, no, actually, I'm done. Jani had to run to another meeting, but doesn't it feel like we could have kept going? I just feel so encouraged when I sit with women who have a track record of decades of faithfulness, of being with the Lord, interceding in prayer. You can tell that they've been with Jesus. Like, I think of that verse in Acts, where the high priest and the religious leaders brought Peter and James to accuse them, and their conclusion is they have been with Jesus. Like, that's what they got from the conversation. And that is the sense when you spend any amount of time with Jani, that she's been with Jesus. And I imagine, much like her mother-in-law Anne influenced her to want to go deeper in prayer, Jani has that effect on me, where I want to go and like pull out my prayer journal and refresh it. Like, here we are. It's time to bring some organization, perhaps, to our prayer lives. That prayer journal that I mentioned that I use is Valmarie Prayer Journals, and we'll include a link to that in the show notes. I've been using it for years, and so it makes simple the structure that Jani was talking about. So if you're hearing her the way she describes her prayer notebook and you want something similar, you'll find those links helpful, or you can certainly set up your own. That's what I did in high school. And like I said, I can see that binder from where I am right now, pink with white flowers on it. So if you loved this conversation or this season of Praying Like Jesus, I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear what God has been doing in your heart through His Spirit, what you've been learning or how you've been growing in your prayer life. You can send us a voice message through SpeakPipe. If you go to prayersofrest.com and just scroll down until you see the microphone, you can send us a voice memo, or you can email us at hello@onethingalone.com or leave a review. Our team reads those reviews. We appreciate how you share about the podcast with others. Speaking of feedback, we have the Ask Me Anything episodes coming up here for the month of May, where Kendra and I sit down with listener questions, and we talk through them. I offer any encouragement that I can give listeners from my time spent with Jesus and in His Word. So those are always a lot of fun. There's still time to submit your question for a future Ask Me Anything episode. So same thing. You can go to prayersofrest.com and just put that SpeakPipe microphone, leave a voice message, or email us. All of that will be in the show notes as well. As we wrap up here, I want to say a big thank you to our Patreon prayer partners. It is their financial support that makes this podcast possible. Thank you also to Kendra Stanton for producing this podcast, and Angie Elkins Media for editing this episode. And thank you, listener, for sharing this podcast with your friends and for joining me here week after week for Prayers of Rest. Until we meet again, may you find much rest in God's loving presence.